Plymouth Tribes podcast. Today, I am talking to an author, Stephen Most. Fresh off the press, his new book, River of Renewal, Myth and History in the Klamath Basin, second edition.
So That's right.
You have revised this. First of all, welcome.
Thank you, Ken.
So it's a second edition. What changed from the first edition?
The first edition was published in 2006. It tells the history of the Klamath Basin as best I could figure it out. And during the last years that I was working on this book, there was a political process in motion to develop a consensus that led to a dam removal and watershed restoration agreement. Back then, it wasn't at all clear that it would succeed, though the political will was there, especially among the tribes. So I was hoping I would get to have a second edition of this book to tell the story of the success of the largest dam removal and watershed restoration project in history.
Timely. You started this research for the second edition last summer?
That's right. The publisher became interested when it was definite that the dams were coming down. So I did a lot of reading, talked to a lot of people, and came up here on two research trips last June. That's when I met you, Ken, and spoke to people right here in Chiloquin to learn more about what had happened since 2006 when the first edition came out.
Oregon State University Press, sticking by you.
That's right. They're a very good publisher.
How many are being printed?
I don't know that. But I have been doing readings, and a lot of people are interested in the book. So I think they may have, they may print more in the near future.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody wants it, how do they get it?
They can acquire it through the Oregon State University Press, or go to their bookstore and ask the bookstore to order it.
We have some in Klamath Falls?
Yes. The book is available at the Klamath County Museum. You can buy a copy there.
You are speaking tonight. This is going to go out next week, so you will already have left, but you have an engagement tonight that you're speaking?
That's right. I'll be speaking at the Klamath County Museum. I interviewed Todd Keppel, who's the Klamath County historian there, and I'll get to speak to people and read a passage that's really aimed at this area, aiming at what the future might bring as watershed restoration moves forward.
Did you want to read the passage for our audience? Or
I would be happy to, yes.
I will hand you the book. And the book is, how many pages is that? It's a pretty good size. A lot of research in there.
295 pages. And the last few pages talk about the future of this region.
Stephen Most, author, joining us today on the podcast, reading an excerpt from his River Renewal book.
What connects us with nature and with each other more than anything else is food. The word for salmon in both Yurok and Karuk languages means food, or to eat. And loving salmon as food generates other forms of energy. Physical work to meet life's necessities, cultural expression, and circulation of goods. In this region of family farms and ranches, loving beef and potatoes, no less than salmon, sets physical, cultural, and economic energies in motion. The Bucket Brigade protest polarized two kinds of food, agriculturally produced goods on one hand, and naturally reproducing aquatic species on the other. In alliance with the tribes, however, food producers realized that their disparate communities are connected within a basin-wide community of lands, waters, and wildlife. That realization rejects what Aldo Leopold called the fallacious notion that the wild community is one thing, the human community another. Instead, he explained that land as a community is a basic concept of ecology, but that land is to be loved and respected is an extension of ethics. Aldo Leopold discovered as a scientist and manager of lands what the tribes have known over millennia, that conservation becomes possible only when man assumes the role of citizen in a community of which soils and waters, plants and animals, are fellow members, each dependent on the others and each entitled to his place in the sun. The future of the Klamath Basin depends on whether ecosystem restoration renews the cultural and economic vitality of the entire region. Following the flow of energy through soils, waters, and foods offers a guideline for long-term conservation and resilient growth. How to achieve this is an open question. There has never been a dam removal and watershed conservation project of this magnitude before. Besides, climate change disrupts once predictable natural patterns, affecting every aspect of the food chain. Clearly, collaborative adaptive management based on science and common sense is needed. Little else is certain. I could read more, but that's one passage for your listeners.
How much of the book is devoted to tribal history of the land?
Quite a bit of the book is devoted to tribal history. I try to tell the stories of each of the major tribes in the Klamath Basin. In some cases, well, with the Yurok in particular, I had the benefit of oral histories, which I quoted from. So I have the stories of Yurok families. I wrote this book while I was making a film, River of Renewal, which premiered in 2008. So I had the benefit of many interviews that I did with tribal members, Yuroks, Hoopa, Karuk, and members of the Klamath tribes.
What did you learn about the Klamath tribes in your research?
I came here first in 1974 to research the Modoc War. I was writing a play about the Modoc War. I had the great benefit of meeting Edison and Leitha Chiliquin. Edison was the grandson of Chief Chiliquin, a 19th century chief whose village was on land called the Arrowhead along the Sprague River. I got to witness a sacred fire ceremony on a hill above Chiliquin in which Edison Chiliquin and Leitha and their family vowed that the sacred fire would burn until land was returned to the Klamath and Modoc and Yohuskan people. Well, I wrote articles about this. People came from all over the continent to inhabit the Arrowhead. They built earth lodges and sweat lodges and put up teepees. Leitha used to make teepees. And people lived winter and summer on that land. They kept that fire going. And at the end of his presidency, Jimmy Carter gave this land, as if he had it to give, to the Chiliquin family for in perpetuity. That was the beginning, Jeff Mitchell told me, of the process that led to the reinstatement of federal recognition of the Klamath tribes. So that's one story that I have to tell about the Klamath tribes.
Is that in the book?
That is in the book.
As you wrote the book for the second edition, what are some of the new information that you learned and incorporated into it? I mean, that's a pretty wide question there.
From the time that the first edition was published until the time that I began researching for the second edition, a lot of negotiations occurred in secret. I observed a conflict resolution consensus building session. It lasted for 3 days here in Chiliquin. I wasn't allowed to bring a camera. I wasn't even allowed to record what people said. So I wrote furiously, but I was able to describe that process of recognizing that everyone had a common interest in restoring this region ecologically and in taking the dams down. After that, there was a series of negotiations that I was not party to. The years of negotiation that led to the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement, the agreement to the Klamath Hydropower Settlement Agreement, which eventually led to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission determining that the Klamath dams, the hydroelectric dams on the Klamath, would not be relicensed. So there was a lot that I needed to learn from people who were involved in those negotiations directly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great that a man of your wealth of knowledge has been able to share this in a book. There aren't a lot of you out there. You know, you've been there for decades following this.
Well, thank you, Ken. It's been a labor of love. I love this area. I've come here. I live in the Bay Area in Berkeley. I come here so often that my wife thought I was seeing somebody up here. But actually, I was trying to see the Klamath Basin and learn everything I could about this land.
Well, you're coming here right after the dams were removed. How does it feel?
This is a very exciting time. The last dam standing, Iron Gate, came down this month, October 2024. Within days, wild salmon had gone upstream of where the dams were. Just last week, wild salmon were in Oregon, Klamath River salmon, for the first time in more than 100 years. This is a very exciting event. I hoped when I was writing the first edition and finishing my movie, River of Renewal, that I would live to see this. And I feel very fortunate to be able to see it and to tell the story.
As we look forward, what do you hope to see?
I hope to see reconciliation between the tribes and the farming and ranching community so that they work together to make this land what it can be. They work together to restore the wildlife, especially the Tuam and Koptu in the Klamath Lake system, and enjoy the return of wild salmon to the upper basin. I think that the entire economy of the Klamath Basin can benefit through this cultural fusion, through this reconciliation between the peoples of the Klamath Basin.
Do we have to have a complete transformation? Do we have to go from an agricultural-based economy to something entirely different?
I don't think so. This is farming and ranching country. And it's a way of life that families for generations have enjoyed. I think the health, the cultural and economic health of this region depends upon the family farmers and ranchers having a secure future. And I think it's not incompatible with the return of lands to the Klamath tribes and their cooperation in making sure that there's an allocation of water that allows the farmers to plant crops that does not deprive the wildlands that the Klamath tribes depend on from being vital.
It's a complicated situation.
It's complicated, but I think that when people get together and speak in terms of what they know and speak from the heart, they can work things out. There was really a remarkable political process, the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement, that really did lead to that kind of agreement. It failed, unfortunately, not because of people here working together, but because the congressional representative who had promised to push this bill through Congress and provide the $500 million it was required to implement it refused to carry the bill. That was during the Tea Party era when John Boehner, who was Speaker of the House then, would not give the Obama administration anything that could be perceived as a win for them. And the Congressman Greg Walden was afraid that when he ran for re-election, he would have a challenger to his right. So he betrayed the farmers and ranchers of the Klamath Basin by not carrying the bill through. And what happened was that the tribes and a large coalition managed to persuade Pacific Corps to remove the dams and not to relicense it through the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. That outcome, which led to the dam removal, did nothing for the farmers and ranchers. And I think it's really important that they participate in the funding and in the ecological restoration that is going to occur over the coming years.
What about innovative approaches to farming that takes less water, greenhouses, products that aren't requiring tremendous amount of water to grow? Like we rely heavily on what, potatoes and hay and such. Does there need to be a shift in how we farm?
I am far from an expert on this. I live in a city. My uncle, Al Fradkin, actually was a potato scientist, and he had a potato plot up here. I know that the farmers have adapted their use of water over the years, progressively. There used to be flood irrigation here. Now there's a much more efficient way of providing water to the land. I think, though, that a lot more can be done to make farming compatible with wildlife. Already, there's farming in the wildlife refuges. That's a very controversial matter. I think the major innovation, and again, I'm speaking from a lack of knowledge, but I think there are ways to farm productively that minimize the use of fertilizers. And also that make more efficient use of water. But this is something that people who know much more than I will work out over the years.
What do you hope people gain from reading your book, River Renewal, of Renewal?
The Klamath Basin is a region that is unlike any other. People recognize this who talk about the state of Jefferson. It's a world of itself. The Klamath Basin is a 10.5 million acre area. You could put three New England states in it, and yet it's relatively little known because it's far from the population centers of Oregon and California. So the people here are independent, and they have their own minds and their own ways of doing things. And through this whole process that has led to dam removal and watershed restoration, they've gotten to know each other, they've spoken honestly, they've worked things out. They've developed a horizontal democracy between themselves, and that needs to continue. People need to meet on a regular basis, and actually that has been happening in the Klamath Basin. There have been Klamath symposia that bring together scientists and federal representatives and people from all of the different communities, including the tribes, the commercial fishermen, the sports fishermen, to have meetings and talk about the latest science and what they need to do to maintain the vitality of this region. I think that needs to continue. I think that this region has suffered by being manipulated by one federal agency after another. I would like to see the federal agencies that manage 60% of the land in the Klamath Basin have an interregional office here so that they coordinate what they're doing and so that they'll be responsible and responsive to the people of this region who work together to figure out what is best for their lives and for the life of the land.
Do you have another book in mind?
I actually have another book that is at a publisher. I wait every day to find out what their decision will be, since it's been in their hands for some months. And it follows from this book in a way, because the politics that I've seen that led to dam removal were, in a sense, theatrical. They demonstrated things physically, like the sacred fire on the hill above Chiloquin that led to eventually to the re-recognition by the federal government of the Klamath lands. So the book is called The World is a Stage, and the subtitle Politics, Theater, and the Worldview of Hannah Arendt. Hannah Arendt was my teacher, who was a great political thinker, and her view of politics was not the vertical politics that we have in our constitutional system, but something that's much more fundamental, which is the politics that happen when people face each other and work out what they need, that work through their conflicts and do what they can to meet their needs and their interests.
What about a play with this theatrical stuff going on? Do you see a play?
I've written two plays about this region. One was about the Modoc War. It's called Medicine Show. I was actually here with the production company. That's when the Sacred Fire ceremony occurred, because Edison Chiliquin knew I was writing journalism and that I would write about it. And that is how people across the continent knew to come here. It was published in Akwesasne Notes, as well as newspapers around the country. My other play about this region has been produced. It's called Watershed, and it's based on oral histories of a Yurok family that was at the center of the Salmon War in 1978. That play was produced, and the Yurok family that I dramatized in that play came to the theater and celebrated its premiere with the Salmon Bake. So I would love to see a production up here, perhaps at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, with a Salmon Bake, celebrating what has happened in the Klamath Basin, this wonderful dam removal that has just occurred, and the watershed restoration that is going to unfold over the coming years.
Anything new that you look to write for the stage?
I do have a new play in the works, and there are early stages of getting it produced. It's kind of unique because it's a play that's written to be performed in a planetarium. And it has an indigenous character, a native Hawaiian who's an astronomer, who discovered in 2017 the first object from outside of our solar system that was seen by astronomers. It was called Oumuamua. And there's an ongoing debate as to whether it was a natural object, like a comet or meteor from elsewhere in the galaxy, or whether it was an artificial object. That object raises the question of the future of civilization, the possibility that we will destroy ourselves around the time that we have the technological ability to leave our planetary home. And the Native Hawaiian astronomer has greater wisdom than the civilization that has put us on the brink of disaster.
Very interesting. As a journalist, how do you see things today? Are we covering the news well enough in this region, environmental news?
I think that the media have pretty much ignored the Klamath Basin, except for the low-hanging fruit. It's a very exciting news event that four hydroelectric dams have been demolished in the Klamath River. This is the greatest dam removal project in history. It could lead to others. But there are many other things that are going on that have completely escaped the media outside of the Klamath Basin. That's why I have to come here so often.
Like what?
To stay up. I think that what I'm seeing among the tribes is a sense of meaning, of a possibility for the future that the United States as a whole is severely lacking. The watershed restoration that's underway is an application of a philosophy that grew over hundreds of years, quite possibly millennia, here in the Klamath Basin. It's world renewal. It's fixing the world, to use the Kuruk term. And it's something that people, non-Indians and Indians alike, are applying in this watershed restoration process. It's not something romantic. It's being done with bulldozers. The area where the dams were, it's kind of ugly right now, like a person who just left surgery. But it's a process that is letting nature restore itself, and nature is resilient. I think this is something that is worth watching worldwide, but it probably will not get much coverage.
We are getting coverage from outside the country. You might have seen some of the journalists.
Yes.
So they are watching from abroad.
I hope so. I hope it continues. Dam removal is a very dramatic event. You can see it. Wild salmon coming to the upper basin for the first time. That's a first. That's a journalistic event. But the kind of process that needs to happen here is slow. It will take years. It's often not something that produces good visuals. But I think it's very important, not only for the future of this area, but for the future of our country as a whole.
And the tribal nations around here, they're in a leadership role, probably more so than they ever have been.
I agree. This is a tremendous reversal from the usual story of American history. And I think it's a very positive story. The tribes of the Klamath Basin have been together for untold hundreds and probably thousands of years. What's remarkable is that the tribes speak languages that come from different language families. So it's as if people speaking French and Arabic and Chinese were living in the same area. How could they understand each other? How could they develop the philosophy of world renewal and the practical knowledge of letting salmon spawn upriver and not catching too many for the future of the resource they all depend on? This is something that was worked out over hundreds and thousands of years because they shared the land and the waters together. I think what's happening is this wisdom that evolved among the tribes who learned it despite speaking different languages from different language families is now spreading to the non-Indian communities of the Klamath Basin.
That sounds like a book.
Someone else will have to write it, Ken.
Christopher, maybe you're read. No? Well, Christopher German is our new reporter, and we just put out our first issue together, the Klamath Tribes News. We do strive for natural resource news and environmental news. It's the cornerstone of the tribes, and we're doing our best to spread the news.
Thank you, Ken. I look forward to reading what you do, you and Christopher, in the future.
And we look forward to reading your book. I just got it. I would definitely read it. River of Renewal, the second edition by Stephen Most. Thank you for joining us today on the Klamath Tribes podcast.
Thank you so much, Ken.
I'm Ken Smith. We will talk again.